So Hare Krishna, I'm very glad to be again here in London or in England. I have come here many times in the past, but then made a long pause of maybe 15 years, and only recently I have been attending the Birmingham Kirtan Extravaganza and have been meeting devotees, different devotees of you, and then I have had the great fortune to again join different types of devotee efforts to live Krishna consciousness and spread Krishna consciousness. I'm very happy to address you today on the subject matter of unity in diversity, or united we stand, divided we fall. Huh? So I would really like that we have an evening together which is unforgettable, an evening which supplies us with a lot of inspiration, so that when we leave these two swinging doors, which now are closed, so that we can't go back to London, when we leave the two swinging doors and enter London, we really take something significant with us. I also want to greet my internet audience. I have to see with Vince. We are live finally. We had to do a few surgical operations in the net, but we have the patient is alive, the streaming works well. Hare Krishna, Hare Bol. Now it's amazing when you do these events with streaming or with internet broadcast, you have even many in the room, maybe 1,000 extra devotees in the space which such an evening supplies, as a space where we can inspire each other. So I would like to just tell you a little bit about the program here. I've written it down. There is a class and then there is a kirtan. And knowing myself to be, you know, if I once start with a class, I never stop. So I have brought my German wristwatch with me to control. Okay. I wanted to address today a deep issue in our spiritual life, how we can really become united as different types of people. All of you are youngsters, you belong to the youth, and you might have found out by now that to build a community or to build a group of devotees is not always easy, because the other person is not exactly harmonizing with my idealistic concepts. Have you noticed already how there's so much sweetness coming from good association, but so much pain when something goes wrong? So much pain when we feel misunderstood, when people talk behind our backs and smile into our faces, but we know what they talk, because they talk the same things as we talk about them. And we know how community sounds so idealistic, but when you practice it in a realistic way, oh, it is a challenge. So I wanted to talk today about how it is actually possible to make a community experience, an experience which brings the different types of people together. And I like you to listen very carefully. Let us chant a few auspicious mantras and then start. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Shatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpataruvaisya Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare I remember in my early days in Krishna consciousness, I was not always very enthusiastic to go into the town's busiest streets to either distribute transcendental literature or to sing the holy names. And to be quite honest with you, I was sometimes afraid when the devotees announced another Harinam Sankirtan in the midst of Heidelberg town. Heidelberg is in central Germany, near to Frankfurt. At that time our temple was there, and when the devotee said, let's go and sing in the streets. Hare Krishna, you are asking me to go into the zoo to the tigers. I felt a little bit fearful. So one day I made an experience which totally turned me around. I was always a little shy, although no one believes this. So I remember that one day the devotee said, we will go out in the streets of Heidelberg. Today is a special day, and Sachinandan Das will lead the kirtan. And what was that special day? I looked on the calendar and found out it was the 1st of May, which in Germany means a day when people come out to protest for various purposes. Some just go to protest to protest. I knew something will happen on this special day, and sure it happened. I remember I went out, we were not many, maybe 7 or 8 of us, and I was leading the kirtan, when all of a sudden I got an uneasy feeling. But, you know, I didn't want to show that I was a little bit in two minds about the whole undertaking. And then all of a sudden, I don't really know how it happened, I found myself in the thin line which separates two camps which have gone to a war. Yes, there was the police on one side with big shields and helmets, and there was a, I don't know how to call it, something where you throw water on Protestants and rebels. It's very painful. How do we call it? It comes with a lot of force and a cannon, a water cannon, yes. And on the other side, there were all kinds of alternatively dressed young people. Some of them had stones in their hands, and they had covered their faces. They looked like Talibans. They had slogans. There was one group which had old Hitler slogans. I do not know if you have heard Heil Hitler. You have heard this slogan? It is invoking very demoniac associations in Germany. There was this group, you know, and they were known as good street fighters. And there was this group and that group and the ultra-left group and the ultra homosexual group and the ultra martial arts group and the so many groups. And there was the German police and the water cannons. And in the midst of the two was Sachinandan Swami, Sachinandan Das at that time, leading the kirtan. It felt really, I don't know if you have ever seen two dogs getting ready for the fight, or some of you are from London suburbs, maybe you have been in discotheques, and there was one guy who challenged the other guy, and they said, let's do it outside to save the furniture. You know, and then there is this atmosphere which is all sparkle, sparkle, sparkle between the two wearing fashions. My dear devotees, it was here a couple of thousands of people like that who were ready to fist fight and stone fight and stick fight and gun fight and water cannon fight. And, you know, it really felt like two demonic armies confronting each other. And in the midst was Sachinandan, who was leading a special kirtan. I have to repeat this. I really closed my eyes and said, Krishna, now please fulfill your promise to protect the devotees. Polis was getting their sticks ready. The first stones were falling or coming over my head. Then there was a plastic bag with some liquid color. It was meant to be thrown at a Polis, but it came right on my new dhoti. and then I decided to do one thing. I decided to invest a little faith. The faith that if you call out the names of the Lord, then the Lord appears in his most merciful form, the holy name, and he not only protects his devotees, but he appears in the heart of those who hear that singing or that kirtan and purifies them. I just closed my eyes and I was waiting for the sticks on my head and the stones and the water cannon, but you know, I had no other alternatives to shelter. I chanted the holy name as good as I could. And you know, have you ever closed your eyes waiting for the attack to happen? I felt like this, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But it didn't come. After 5 minutes, I opened the eyes and I saw something which I want to share with you. The first thing I saw was the German Polis, not known for their soft-handed nature. Some of them were tapping like this to the rhythm of the madanga. Then I turned to the other front line with the Heil Hitler people and the alternative this and the ultra left this and the ultra right this group, and they smiled. Some of them smiled in a sheepish way, some in a what's that way, others in a genuinely happy way, and I thought it starts to work. The holy name is injected into the atmosphere and it does something. I closed the eyes again, chanted longer, and after 3 minutes opened it again. The sticks had disappeared. The stones had disappeared. You know, the stones for throwing at other people. And a peaceful atmosphere reigned. To save you a long story, the next day there was a article in the Heidelberg newspapers. Miracle! For the first time in a long history, the demonstrations on the 1st of May went very peacefully. For the first time, there was a kirtan during the demonstration. And just having seen that, and I have... although I have the tendency to exaggerate sometimes, but here I have told you the naked, unmasked truth. You know, just seeing how the holy name injected in an atmosphere with many different groups, you know, the ultra left, the ultra right, the all in between ones, had really changed the atmosphere and made it a peaceful atmosphere. It was just such a convincing situation that I can never forget it. especially because I was very fearful to be beaten up on that day, and it didn't happen. My skin was saved by the power of the holy name, and that's a convincing argument for a person who is in the beginning of his spiritual life. You know, it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam that when many people come together, it is often a challenge because people are just so different. Especially when you meet in a group like a group of devotees of Krishna, you will find there are so many different universes coming together. Yes, I'm thinking like this. Every one of you brought a universe. Deva Shekhar brought a Spanish universe today with him. Then there is that young Mataji who looks around. Her eyes are well decorated. She has the universe of aspiring to love with her. Then there is the tough man who chews chewing gum to suppress his inner nervousness. He brought a certain universe with him. Then there are young children who think, I like to play the new computer game. Many universes have assembled in the Victoria Hall today. I think this is the name of our hall, Victoria. That's it's a Spanish queen and an English queen, isn't it? Victoria, Gloria. So many, many people have come. And you know, when these universes collide, there can be a lot of energy released. Just like in quantum or in physics, when universes collide with their different structures and systems, there are supernovas created and so on. So we must think very deeply what force we can appeal to or turn to, which can unite us, which can bring us together. And I know this is the subject matter of today's little meeting. We want to really find out what brings us together despite of our differences. In psychology, you find a very interesting little story of a failed attempt to bring people together. There's a man from Spain, a little temperamentful, muchas gracias. And then there is the cool North European, maybe let us call it a Norwegian, and they meet at a ranch in Texas. So the Spanish person wants to talk to the Norwegian, and for him to talk to someone means he should come just 50 or 45 centimeters before his face. And then he feels comfortable. He can express himself. Muchas gracias. For the Norwegian, the correct distance is 1 meter 10 or you know, maximum 1 meter 9. You know. So imagine the two coming together. It's a retreat, you know, a self-improvement retreat offered by a famous teacher. You know, they come together in Northern Carolina or somewhere, and the Spanish person wants to talk to the Norwegian. First of all, the Spanish person comes close. I mean, he has to express himself. He has to tell what is in his heart, you know. And the Norwegian now is always trying to make the right distance of 1.10 meters, maximum 1.09 meters. But the Spanish person, something is wrong, and he comes closer, you know, to come into the distance where he feels comfortable, 45 centimeters, you know. You know, maybe a compromise could be 60 centimeters, you know, talking distance. And the poor Norwegian goes always back. First of all, he thinks that his Spanish person must be a homosexual. Why does he come so close? Please! You know, and at the end, he finds himself, you know, leaning against this thing in the veranda where they used to bind the horses, you know, the ranch. And he goes like, oh, you can't go back more. And he finally falls. Hits his head, and that was all about his self-improvement course. This is how people are. They are different. There was no problem. There was just a difference. But because they could not overcome the difference, they didn't find a platform where they could be united. The differences always stood between them as the only realistic or real experience in their life. See, if you cannot come to a platform of unity, if you cannot come to a what we call spiritual platform, all you have is your differences. In your partnerships, there are always different groups, always different interests, always different perspectives, and you will suffer from them, my dear boys and girls, my dear youth. You will find out. Romance is something idealistic, but marriage, something very realistic, you know, where the differences are just so pronounced, where they are so obvious. See, people nowadays can't stay together because of these differences, because they have forgotten or not even learned in the beginning how to come to a platform where they can go beyond the differences and beyond the tremendous amount of disturbances which happens if you remain on the material platform of the differences. But those who have learned to come to the spiritual platform have found out that despite the material differences, which I wanted to express in my Norwegian and Spanish meeting, or the meeting between a Norwegian and Spanish person, they have found out that despite the differences, they have found a platform of unity. Today we started our journey in Berlin. Yesterday not one single plane was allowed to leave the airport because of a volcanic eruption somewhere in Ireland, which created a dust cloud over the Berlin airport and other airports, and we couldn't leave. I didn't think yesterday that I would be able to address you all this today, but somehow the dust cloud lifted itself, and we could fly without any hindrance. And I have made one. I always like to take the window seat. Gaura Hari already knows this. When we get tickets, I always say window seat, please, window seat, window seat, because I cannot get tired to see this. To see when the plane leaves the ground, and pierces through the coverings of the clouds and then flies in the sunshine, in a peaceful, serene atmosphere above the clouds. For me, this is a very symbolic thing which happens when you enter the process of Krishna consciousness and you take it seriously. You leave the troubled, cloudy consciousness, the material consciousness, where you only see the differences. You break through a certain barrier and you enter into an atmosphere of serenity and great relief. And the, do you know what? It's best in that atmosphere when you have just transcended another major difference or of opinion. I have always seen this. I saw it in Heidelberg when we did this Harinam Kirtan, where we broke through the clouds and where we could take many people with us, so that they were no longer quarreling and hating each other and fighting each other, these different groups and with the polis. I have seen it always in my life that when different types of people come together and they really apply this formula of coming or breaking through to the level of Krishna consciousness, I have seen that it is so greatly satisfying. Because we see by contrast. We see when there is a very, when there is contrast, then I can only see. You know, I can only see the pictures because they are contrasting in color and forms, which are there, the wall. So I can only see you because you look different from the floor. You are a contrast, contrasting the floor with your color and your wonderful smiled or bored expressions, you know, depending on how much interest you have in what I say. When you have a very different situation with different people and you can actually break through to the side of Krishna consciousness, you feel by contrast to what was before there and what is now there, so absolutely relieved. That's why I love the Hare Krishna movement despite all the different individuals in it. I see it's so many different people from so many walks of life. There are intellectuals, there are simple people like me, there are people who are revolutionaries, there are people who are tigers and who are giraffes and wolves, you know, by psychological inclination, if you know what I mean. You know, but they find themselves on one level, and they understand, my God, we have something in common. This is an experience I all invite you. There are men and women, sometimes they were highly, there was a lot of sparkle energy, we call it in German, Funkensprühen, if this says something to you. Funkensprühen? You don't speak German very well. It's a very specific expression. Sparkles of attraction. But then they talk very peacefully to each other, like brothers and sisters, and all, and gone are the games and the masks and everything. This is the experience which you can make in Krishna consciousness. Krishna. This is called an electric swami. So the chanting, so this effect of breaking through the clouds and finding the unity is done through the chanting. And there's a verse in the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam which says that when people come together to chant the holy name, it's like the sun rising, which dispels the darkness. But then Shukadev Goswami, who speaks this verse, where he says, chanting together brings a different energy, brings the light of Krishna consciousness, which dispels the darkness of Maya consciousness. Shukadev Goswami is not satisfied. He says, he thinks while he talks about this, that sometimes the sun rises, but there still are dark caves. So he says, chanting is not only like it brings the light of Krishna consciousness into our consciousness, but it is like a strong wind which moves away all the covering clouds. So when you enter into a kirtan and you do a kirtan, and we will do this in a few minutes with all of you, then you can see the two effects are there. Your consciousness becomes full of light, and the dark clouds, which keep the light from affecting your consciousness, will go away. And at that time, you don't see any longer the differences, which are only there because of different bodies and mindsets and so on. You begin to actually see and appreciate the spiritual light or the spiritual consciousness, the Krishna consciousness within each one of you. And you will actually on that level think, oh yes, we were so different when we were on the material level, but now we feel so united and so, so strong. Without Krishna consciousness, this idea of unity remains a pious dream. It doesn't work. Only with the introduction of Krishna consciousness, this idea of, you know, unity is the English word, works. And you know what? When you have this experience of unity between people, you know what happens? A lot of strength is released, a lot of energy, a lot of power, a lot of that strength which wipes away the word impossible from your list of names. Usually, from your list of vocabularies, usually we all have this word impossible. This is impossible. I can't do it. It never works. It's a word which rules every one of you. Admit it. It's in your psychology. I can't do this. It's not possible. It's impossible. By unity with people, things which you have thought to be impossible become very easily possible. There's one old story which I once heard when I was on pilgrimage. I think someone in Badrinath, an old sadhu, told me. I had just sat before him and said, I don't know, you know, I'm from Germany. These German impressions or sanskaras don't leave my mind. I think I will not be able to make significant progresses in Krishna consciousness. And he said, you are ruled by this one word, the word impossible. By sangha or by association, this word will disappear from your vocabulary. And then he told me a story. He said there was once a little bird who had a nest in the jungle, you know, in one tree. And it so happened that this was a she bird, legally married. And it just so happened that it was laying its egg and was happily looking forward for her progeny. We say progeny? Yes, progeny. But then an elephant came, the bad elephant, saw the happiness of the young bird, or bird mother, the expectant bird mother, and took its trunk, the elephant took its trunk, shook the branch, the four eggs fell on the soft forest floor, then the elephant killed four eggs, I mean four things, and went so the bird mother wanted to commit suicide. That was illegal. She decided to tell to say goodbye to another bird friend. I do not know how you call this bird. Do you have in English the word woodpecker? It said woodpecker G. Like tomorrow I hang myself. It's just intolerable for me. And the woodpecker said, no. What is this problem? The elephant is a problem. And you just make new children, you know, it's a joyful experience. And you have more children. This is the second time where the same elephant comes and destroys my eggs, said the bird. I commit suicide, I'm determined. The woodpecker said, well, I could help you to kill the elephant. Said the bird. Another impractical solution. No, said the woodpecker. I have a friend, a frog. He can help us. Frog. And the frog knows one bee. The bird mother started to cry. Don't joke with me. How can a bird like me, a woodpecker, a frog and a bee kill the mighty beast of the forest, the elephant? And the woodpecker said, through sangha, through association, so the bird was surprised by the seriousness, and it brought, and there was a little gathering, and the woodpecker and all his friends hatched a plan. They said, tomorrow, when the elephant is thirsty, the frog will make it sound, quack, 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 and the elephant will think, No, like it was different. When it's hot and the sun is there, the bee will enter the ear of the elephant and sing a raga. The elephant, who is a true art lover, will close his eyes, and then the woodpecker will come and pick out the eyes. And then, because it's thirsty, the beast is thirsty, the frog will make his watery sound, quack, quack, which means an indication that there's water. Frogs are usually in the water. And the elephant will move towards the sound, and the frog will hop in such a way that it comes to an abyss, and then the elephant goes to heavens. So they followed this plan, and together they were successful in taking care of a great problem, the tyrannical elephant, which was giving trouble not only to the little bird, but to many other animals in the forest. Sangha has this quality. It really can give superior strength. I don't speak of strengths of numbers here. I speak of something else. An association of different devotees, your own Shraddha or your own faith can become more solid. And do you know one thing? From a strong faith or a strengthened faith, virya comes. Virya means strength. Someone who has faith, who has that strong faith that he can do it, somehow is assisted by God. He gets a certain strength, the strength which faith gives him. Someone who is weak in faith is also weak in his life. It's really a law. See how strong are you performing in your life. It always has direct relationships to your own Shraddha. When you have no faith that you can do it and it is possible, your strength is very minimal. It is very insignificant. So the Shraddha or the faith can be very, very easily strengthened in association. And I'm speaking of this type of very, very important dynamics. The dynamics of building up Shraddha and building up faith. So I have one practical solution. A very practical idea with which I would like to conclude. Not long ago, I don't really remember the occasion because my life is at the moment going as fast as a storm. But the last time I was here with you in London, I was invited to come to a Sunday evening program in the Bhaktivedanta Manor for a kirtan. I remember that very distinctly. And I could see that here is a program which has tremendous strength and tremendous future. I think if you make it a point to attend this kirtan program, you will first of all see two things in your life. First of all, you will experience what we were talking in the beginning about, you know, that coming or breaking through the clouds. Remember my Heidelberg experience? Heidelberg, this town in Germany, where I went into this atmosphere where there were so many different groups, I couldn't imagine an atmosphere where there would be more difference than these warring groups, you know. You will experience actually in your life how you will come out of that material consciousness and you come on the platform of spiritual unity. That's the first thing which you will experience. And the second thing which you will experience is that in that association with others, where you sing the holy names of Krishna, and where you feel actually how the clouds are disappearing from your consciousness, you will feel the birth of the beautiful queen of Shraddha Devi. Shraddha will come into your heart, an improved faith, and as a result of that improved faith, you will get strength. Who comes into the door? Hare Krishna, Kanchana Vali. Kanchana, huh? Yes, we have seen you. So you will feel, actually, how you get strengthened in your heart and you will be able to do wonderful things. What I'm suggesting to you is not another program like there can be so many programs. I'm suggesting to you the program. Kirtan, or singing the kirtans in this age of Kali is really the best way of the easiest way to come to this level of Krishna consciousness. And I will end with a letter which I received. You must have heard that in Germany, devotees are preparing for a big Kirtan Mela in August, September, where from all over the world, Kirtaniyas come, and where we will chant for 5 days, 12 hours a day, the holy name. I mean, I don't expect, and I will warn the participants to not, you know, every day 12 hours, that's a little bit much for us. You can monitor your time that you chant maybe 6 to 8 hours a day. And just a few days ago, I received an email from a friend of mine, Yadubara Prabhu, who has made a lot of movies. He had encouraged us by comparing this Kirtan Mela with the great sacrifice performed by the saints in Naimisharanya. I think you remember it was at the onset of Kali Yuga where these saints came together to see what can they do to stop the spread of these Kali Yuga influence, you know, that influence which divides all of us and makes us see the differences and makes us quarrel and even go to war. So they had come up with a solution, that is, that they wanted to praise Krishna, and this would be good enough to remove Kali. So in that purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, "Forgetful men do not know the right path for peace and prosperity. However, the sages know it well, and therefore, for the good of all people, they are always anxious to perform acts which may bring about peace in the world. In this age, the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord, that's Kirtan, is the prescribed method for waking up." So I hope that you will all become very serious for Kirtan and wake up. I think some of you have made plans for to attend tomorrow's Kirtan event in Birmingham, am I right? Some of you have bought tickets and shoveled their time free. Please do come and sing your hearts out. And you will see a bigger heart will come back. Sing your old hearts out. And a big heart will come back. We will make a heart surgery for you. Please try to get together amongst yourself and see how you could come together for these beautiful Sunday evening kirtans at the lotus feet of Radha Gokulananda in the manor and make a kirtan experience which will bring all of the youth here in England together by cleaning their consciousness and by also installing Krishna there. I think this will work miracles and you will become a very, very strong united force. That is what I wanted to say this evening. I hope I could reach you. I hope it was not too scatterbrained because I worked up till I could hear the birds this morning through my window in Berlin. Did not really sleep. But Krishna consciousness is so wonderful. You feel sleep is so much a boring activity that you have no truthful inclination to sleep. You just pretend. We have time, says our talented MC, for 3 or 4 questions. One or two, says our MP. Yes, cool. Vrinda Kishori? I try to learn this name for 1 year or 2 years. I'm already in the school of learning. Long time. This is my first success. And this is a good start in England. Remembering a name. Vrinda Kishori, please. But you always have a question, but that's good. Yes, Vrinda Kishori will ask first, and then I hope there will be. No. You. It works when you are strong in Krishna consciousness. When you are not so strong, you might become influenced by their atmosphere. There was once this, you will love this, there was this, because many of you come from Gujarat, the parents, could it be? there was this Eknath, a saint of Gujarat, who was at a young age a very accomplished sadhu already, what to speak of later. And he would sing every morning kirtan. So once a professional gambler on his way to gambling passed Eknath and saw the tremendous amount of peace which emanated from this saint. He was a professional gambler, as I said, and every morning would meet his group of friends and they would play cards all day. So this one morning where he saw Eknath, he didn't go. He stayed and he sat 1 hour next to Eknath and then came to his other friends 1 hour late. So the friends asked, where were you? We were waiting and we could not really start. So we started to drink a little bit. Where were you? And he said, I was with Eknath. He was so peaceful that it did so much good for my soul. Aha, said one person. He's not really peaceful. Tomorrow you will see how I will make your Mr. Peace angry as hell. So, this man was not Krishna conscious. I think you would agree. So that next morning came, Eknath would take his bath every day in one's holy river, and then he would, after he'd done his ablutions and prayed some prayers and did some worship, he would then go home and continue with his program. So Eknath, that's this one morning, this man who wanted to make Eknath angry sat on the top of a roof and chewed betel. You know it makes this red saliva which you find all over the more uncultured sections of Delhi on the walls and every when it spits somewhere you can scrub for a month and it doesn't go, what to speak when it goes into cloth. And you see these not so cultured people, they have stains in their shirts and so on. So this man was chewing. And when Eknath came, freshly bathed, and
wonderful clean door. He went like, it was red, so red.
Ignat looked and saw the man who was there on the roof. He looked at him, he looked at his cloth, at the chest, and he went back to the river to take a second bath. After 15 minutes or so, he was ready. He came back that same path, the only path which led from the river back into town. And there was this man, and again, Ignat looked again, went back, took a second bath. Vindakishori, 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, 6 times, 21 times, until, as we say in German language, da ist ihm die Spucke weggeblieben. What this means is no longer spit came, his mouth was dry. You can imagine, after 21 times, you know, he was dry like a desert. And frustrated, he said, why don't you become angry? And Ignat said, see, when I become angry, it will take me half a year to get the poison out of my mind, the poison of anger. The second reason why I don't become angry, the first reason is self-protection. The second reason why I don't become angry is simply like this. I see you being so absolutely determined to make me angry that you become dry like a desert. Shouldn't I be similarly determined to stay in my consciousness? You are my guru in determination. And the third reason why I don't become angry is I had 21 baths in a sacred river today. But I think the two reasons are very interesting. Watch what happens when you become disturbed and angry. Is it bad for the other person? No, it's bad for you. When you drink a glass of poison, Devashika, is it bad for the other person? Or is it bad for you? Anger is poison. It poisons you, not the person you are angry at. So, but coming to your question, Vindakishori, Ekanath is an example of someone who's very fixed in Krishna consciousness. He could influence that angry maker. Angry? No, that's a German translation. That person who wanted to make him angry, he could influence him. A very Krishna conscious person can do this. If you're not so strong, then you cannot do this. And if the people are more strong in the material consciousness than you are in your spiritual consciousness, they will influence you. It's whoever is strong in his consciousness or stronger than the other person, he will influence that person. I once saw that in a flight from Atlanta to Moscow, there was a Maya Devi in that flight. My God, was she a Maya Devi? Hare Krishna. Even to think of her is not healthy. What to speak of her? But we had no problem. She was 3 rows before us. But there was this American businessman, a small, and she was just emanating these greasy beer-like qualities, you know, of lust. Is it a grizzly bear quality? Maybe not. I don't have a right example here. And this, you could see how the businessman was surely melting. First he looked very shyly into her, a very, very impressive décolleté. was really fighting, and then she was just melting him because of her being so absorbed in bodily consciousness. The poor thing just lived between running to the bathroom to renew the makeup, you know, and so on. So he was very strong in material consciousness and therefore could influence our businessmen very strongly. If there would have been a strong saint, the businessmen would have been experienced, would have been become very saintly. And if you would be there, maybe you would have become a businessman. Whoever is most strong, he wins the battlefield, he wins on the battlefield of consciousness. Whoever is most strong wins on the battlefield of consciousness. When you're not so strong, the other will win. If you are stronger. And Ekanath showed that man who was fell down at his feet and said, I'm sorry, I thought I could make you angry. I made a terrible offense. Please forgive me. But by association, your Shraddha is becoming stronger. And by listening to classes, and then you will certainly become strong and become a strong influence, no doubt. Time is also there, and Kirtan is waiting. We should not let the Kirtan wait any longer. So what will we? I brought a very special melody with me. Can I sing it? It is said that we are all bitten by the snake of illusion. It has bitten us in the chest. And as a result, we are in the comatose situation. We are in the coma of material consciousness. So just like there are expert snake charmers who can bring out the poison from a dying patient by mantra, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra can bring out the poison of, it can bring it out, draw it out of our system so that our consciousness is clear. But you have to really sing as if your life is, your spiritual life is really dependent on it. So I request you, I'm bringing my little friend everywhere. You know, you need to chant because we are bitten by the snake of Maya and we need a cure. So my request to you is chant as if it is a therapy for you. Chant as if your spiritual life is dependent on it. Chant with some eagerness and you will have extraordinary experiences of devotional feelings.